Well, good morning to you. Thank you for coming here this morning on this cold Pennsylvania Sunday morning. We're just overjoyed to have you here with us today. My name's Pastor John, and we're just glad that you're here with us today. Hey, I don't know about you, but I'm still hoping for this all-Pennsylvania Super Bowl. Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be awesome if the Steelers played what's that other team? Wouldn't that be awesome if they played the Eagles in the Super Bowl? Actually, Don McLoone is an Eagles fan, and I said that to him this morning. He's like, man, it'd be awesome if they played each other in the Super Bowl. He's like, no. He didn't want to do that because I think he thinks that Pittsburgh will win and you guys will be hard on him, okay? So if for some reason God makes that happen, we need to be hard on Don, all right? And let him know that. We have a few other Philadelphia fans here as well, and so we wish them well. Hey, here at First Church, over the last number of weeks, we've been looking at this new series called Return to Life, and we've been studying scriptures from creation, and we've been talking about basically two things. Number one is how we were made. Okay, looking at our creation by our Creator, and then secondly, what we were made for. Okay, and today we're going to continue with this series, and we're going to be talking about faith or faithfulness. You know, I ran across this sign the other day, and it really got my attention. If you're not getting someone's attention, don't give them yours. Do you live by this motto? There's a lot of people that live by this motto, right? They really do. Matter of fact, when I read this, I couldn't help but think a lot of people treat God this way, right? I mean, if God's not paying attention to me, then I'm not going to pay attention to him. I mean, the world is full of people that live like this. You know, God isn't answering my prayers. So why should I pay attention to what he's saying to me? You know, God is not bringing about the things that I need, the things that I'm asking for, the things that are important to me. If God's not paying attention to me, why should I pay attention to him? And you know what, folks? I think our scripture today is going to speak to this exact thought. Because Genesis chapter 12 all the way through chapter 25, okay? Genesis 12 through 25. Let's all stand and just read this together. No, we're not going to read all of it. You know, but this is the story of what? This is the story of Abraham, okay? Genesis 11 is about what? Genesis 11 is about the Tower of Babel, okay? God's people, God's creation becoming so intellectual, becoming so smart, becoming so... they build this great tower toward God. And what does God do? God confuses their language and separates them. And then it was after that, Genesis 11, that God calls Abraham and asks Abraham to do something really, really important. Now think about this for a moment, all right? I mean, if you're not getting someone's attention, don't give them yours. God was getting Abraham's attention. God called Abraham. It says that Abraham lived in Ur, and God called him and said unto him. Matter of fact, here's the verse in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. God says to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. God's word to Abraham. In other words, God was trying to get Abraham's attention. But here's the thing, folks. When someone gets our attention or commands our attention and tells us to do something or go somewhere, most often, what is our response? Where do you want me to go? But Abraham never says that. Abraham never says to God, God, where do you want me to go? But we want to know where we're going. We want to know what's next. We want to know what's around the next corner. We want to know what's coming tomorrow. We want to know what's ahead. We don't want to go into tomorrow and tomorrow being a great unknown. We want as much information as we can gather about where we're headed, where we're going, and what's going to happen to us. And that, in a sense, is the exact opposite of faith. Now watch this for a minute, folks, because I think this is really important. Because the world teaches us and the devil convinces us that we need as much information as we can get so that we can be prepared for the future. But a lot of times, it's when we go into the future by faith, when we go into the future not knowing, when we go into the future trusting in God and God alone, when that's all we have, that we get the best results. Let me give you an example. Some years ago, I played a golf course in Jonesville, Virginia, and the number 10 hole there at Jonesville, I'll never forget it because it was a par 5, and it was this beautiful hole. You just went out and went out over this sloping hill, and then you could see the green in the distance. First time I ever played the course in that particular hole, I stepped up and I looked and I saw the green. I saw how far it was, and it was a par 5, and I teed it up and I reared back and I hit it as hard as I could, and it went really, really good right down the middle of the fairway. Oh man, this is awesome. I'm going to get there in 2. I'm going to make an eagle maybe. And after my buddies hit, who hadn't played there either, we started out over this hill, and as we came up over the hill, here was this large body of water. Covered the entire fairway from one side to the other, just this huge pond. You couldn't see it at all from the tee. I thought, oh man, I'm in that pond. And I got down there and I got to looking, and sure enough, my ball had just carried over the water. Just a few feet. And I went up and I wasn't too far from the green, and I knocked it on in 2, and I probably 3-putted, but I made a par anyway. And but here's the thing, okay? I've played that hole probably 20, 30 times since then. And every time I come to the 10th tee, I try to do the exact same thing. And every time, you know what happens? In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, I baptize you. I mean, I've put literally dozens of golf balls in that particular hole every time. The only time I never hit it in the water was when I didn't know the water was there. And sometimes I think that we need to understand that from the story of Abraham. Abraham trusted God. He had faith, but he didn't know the future. He didn't know the where. He didn't know the when. He didn't know the how. All he knew was that God was already there preparing the way. Now, there's a beautiful passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 11. I want to use this as our text this morning. Talking about Abraham, it says, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. And even though he didn't know where he was going, by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Folks, this passage is full of great truths about faith. You know, Hebrews teaches us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And you know what? That's still true today. And as believers, as Christians, we need to understand that we need to have faith. That if we want to live a life that is pleasing to God, then we need to live a life of faith. So let's learn from the story of Abraham and apply these truths to our lives today. Let me unpack this verse for you. First of all, he says, by faith, Abraham, by faith. You know, what is faith? Well, it's very obvious here that in the life of Abraham, the demonstration of faith was that faith just isn't something that you believe. It's something that causes you to live a certain way. He says here that Abraham, when called to go to a place that he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. When called to go, he obeyed and went. You see, Abraham's faith caused him to do something more than just believe it in his mind or believe it in his heart. And as believers today, we need to understand that that's the way God wants us to live. We are such a people today, and we want to know, we want to have as much information. We want to know as much as we can. We want to know as few, we want to have as few unknowns as possible before we move forward. And in reality, that's not faith. You know, I heard a great story one time about faith. It was about these two sisters, these two nuns from a particular convent. They were on their way somewhere to participate in some kind of bazaar or something, and they ran out of gas. And they didn't know what to do, and nobody was stopping to help them. So finally they started looking through the car for something to put some gas in. And the only thing that they can find was a plastic bedpan. Do you need any further description, or do you understand what I'm talking about? So they took this plastic bedpan and they walked not very far to the nearest gas station, and they filled it up with gasoline, and they took it back to the car, and they're very gingerly holding this bedpan up, pouring this gas into the tank of the car. And about that time, these two fellas drove by, and when they saw the sisters holding up the bedpan to the gas tank, they said, "Now that's faith." You see, faith is understanding that we have to do something because of the way we feel about God. Now, the interesting thing about Abraham was that he had very little knowledge about God. That's the beauty of this story of God choosing Abraham to be the father of the Hebrew nation, that he was going to be great, that the peoples of the world were going to be blessed because of him, that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sand in the seashore. He had very little knowledge about God. Matter of fact, most commentators say that Abraham was probably, he was a pagan living in Ur. But yet, when called to go, he obeyed and went. You see, I think it's interesting here that he uses the word obey. It doesn't just say that he was called to go, and he went and did, and went to the place where God was calling him. He obeyed and went. You see, there's a second thing here, because he uses that phrase again, by faith. He says, by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. You see, folks, to be people of faith means that we are strangers living in a foreign country. That this is not our home. That is, as the old song says, that we're just passing through. That we are pilgrims on our way to a far better place. Matter of fact, it's interesting here. It says that they lived in tents. Now think about it. If you live in tents, there's two things that are obvious. Number one is that you're just passing through, that you're transient. And number two, it's obvious that you are from somewhere else. So Abraham left the opulence of his life in Ur, and he gave that up for a transient life of faith and obedience to God. And it included understanding that you are a stranger living in a foreign country. I mean, have you ever been a stranger in a foreign country? A few years ago, when I spent the summer over in Ethiopia with my daughter Kristen, every week I would walk and travel to a local hotel, actually to the Sheraton in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, with the desire of uploading some files and information for you folks here at First Church. And as I was walking from where we live to where I was going, it was incredible how out of place I looked. You know, one, physically I didn't look like anybody else that was there. You know, my dress, I was not like anyone else that was there. Even my religion was unlike most of the people that were there. I would walk through large gatherings of people that were down on their rugs praying to Allah. I mean, it was so obvious. And you know what was really interesting? It was interesting because every person that I encountered knew that that was not my home. And in a way, that's how God is calling us to live. That our faith should be so countercultural. That our faith in God should be so different than the faith that the people and the things of this world. That we just stick out. That it is obvious to everyone that we are strangers living in a foreign land. Like people living in tents. But here's the thing, folks. You're talking about faith. It says he lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Do you ever realize that Abraham, it was generations before Abraham realized the full promise of God. And during that time, he wasn't always faithful. There was a time, you remember, that he claimed that his wife was his sister because he didn't want to get in trouble. You know, there was a time that his wife came to him and said, "You know what? God said we're going to have a son. We're going to be, you know, fruitful, but you know, it's just not happening. Let's do something else." And we what came out of that. There were so many times that Abraham, even though we know him and his faith today teaches us really what faith is, there were times that his faith was weak. And that he didn't follow through as God had wanted him to do. But folks, we must be faithful. By faith, Abraham. By faith, he made his home in the promised land. But there's one more thing here that I think is really interesting. Notice the last verse. It says Abraham was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. You know, that's one of the most beautiful verses in all the Bible. Because he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Now, some commentators say that this is a reference to Jerusalem, maybe. But certainly the greater reference is to eternity, to heaven. To that place where we're not going to be strangers any longer. But one of the things that I think is so interesting about that passage, it says that God is both architect and builder. Now that's amazing. I have some friends here that are architects and engineers and things like that, and I'm sure they're going to correct me when I'm finished this if it's not correct. But I think this is correct. Okay? Think about this for a moment. You don't see too many times when the architect and the builder are the same person. I mean, when we did this, when we did our building a few years ago, we hired architects and we hired builders. And it's interesting because, you know, builders said architects, oh man, they can draw anything. You know, I remember talking to the architects, you know what, I'd like to do this and I'd like to do this. Well, then the engineers, you know, they got to figure out if that can work, and then the builders have to build it. But when you talk to the architects said, "Oh man, I can draw anything." And the builders say, "Well, listen, they draw with pencils, but you know, when it comes down to building it, that's a whole different story. You know, when you try to figure out what it's going to cost and how you can do it and how you can make sure that it's safe." I think that it's beautiful in this passage that he describes God as both the architect and the builder. In other words, God designed it. God drew it up. God says this is the way that it should be. This is what it should look like. This is what faith is all about. God is the architect. It was His idea. It was His creation. But then not only did He design it, it says that God is the builder. In other words, God doesn't push it off on somebody else and says, you know, you figure out how to make this happen. God says, no, I'm going to build it. God is both the architect and the builder. And you see, what's up to us is simply to obey. All Abraham had to do was to go and to hang on tight to his faith in God. And God said, I'm going to take you to where I want you to be. And even though you're going to be a stranger in a foreign land, I am going to bless you. I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to make your descendants as numerous as the stars in heaven and the sands on the seashore. Every nation under the earth will be blessed because of you. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but that's the kind of life that I want to return to. Because you know what? When I try to live my life knowing everything that's going to happen, having every question answered, crossing every T, dotting every I, without any surprises in life, if that's the way I have to live, most of the time I'm disappointed and I miss the mark because I'm worrying about so many things. But when you truly live life by faith, and that you trust in God to not only design it, but also to build it and to make it happen. That's what He did for Abraham. And that's what He wants to do for us as well. So let me ask you a question. Is God trying to get your attention? I mean, think about it. You got Abraham, he's up here in Ur, he's living in his opulence, you know, he's got all of his stuff, he's got all of his relatives, you know. He's got everything except what? An heir, except a son. And here was this God that speaks to him and says, you know, Abraham, I want you to go, even though you don't know where you're going. I'm gonna bless you, even though you don't know when. And then Abraham would get up, and he would go, and he would obey. But the neat thing is that when God tried to get his attention, Abraham allowed that to happen. Now, here's the point. There's an awful lot of people today, maybe even you, maybe even me, maybe all of us here this morning, and God is trying to get our attention. God is trying to do something. God is trying to lead you somewhere. God is trying to get you to achieve something particular in your life, in your home. And even though you hear that, you know that He's trying to get your attention, how do you respond? Because here's the thing. We can do one of three things. Number one, we can ignore Him. We can ignore Him. An awful lot of people do. I mean, Abraham could have heard the voice of God, and he could have just said, oh my goodness, who's that? I'm hearing things. I'm hearing people. And just turned it off. Or turned a blind eye or a deaf ear. He could have just ignored Him. A lot of people do. There's a lot of people today out in the world. Matter of fact, most of the people in the world are in this particular situation. They're just ignoring God. I mean, it's not that they don't hear God's voice. It's not that they don't feel God's leading. It's not that they don't have the tug of the Spirit. It's not that they don't feel, you know, guilt and worry and fear. They feel all those things, and they choose to just ignore God. That's most people in the world. Secondly, we could we could just simply pacify him. Now, I suggest that this is what a lot of people do in the church. Okay? A lot of people of faith do this. You know, they're not like the people in the world. They're not just totally ignoring God, but what they do is they try to pacify him. Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is they try to say all the right things. Yes, God, I hear you. Yes, God, I know what you want me to do. Yes, God, I'm going to obey you. They pacify, they vocalize and say all the right things, but then they never follow through. Because you see, when you study the life of Abraham, it says that he heard God and he obeyed and he went. Heard, obeyed, and went. Lots of people hear and ignore. Others hear and say the things that they think God wants them to say, but then they never follow through with it. Or thirdly, we can obey. We can obey. We can have faith. We can live by faith in God. That's what Abraham did. So you see, here's our choice today, folks. God is speaking to us. God is trying to get our attention. And we can say, you know what, God? You don't give me your attention, therefore I'm not going to give you mine. Just ignore him. Or we can do what a lot of people of faith do. We can just say, you know what, God, yeah, I hear you. Yes, I need to do this. I'm going to do it. I'll get around to it. Or we can obey. What does it look like to be a person who obeys God? You know, we live by Penn State University here, just across the way. There's lots of times when we're coming to the office that we'll see a student walking along the road, and maybe the weather's bad, maybe like it is now, cold or rainy. And a lot of times Arlene will stop and she'll invite the student to ride along. She'll say, come on, I'll take you to class, I'll take you to your dorm, I'll take you wherever you need to be. And you know what? She's told me some fantastic conversations that she's had with college students like that. Now, I don't know about you, but you know, I don't usually do that. I used to say something like, you know what, if I'm by myself, I don't want to stop, I don't want to scare them, you know, I don't look as friendly as Arlene, or you know, people are scared of middle-aged, bald-headed men or whatever, I don't know. But I don't have those stories. And the biggest reason is just I've never followed through. And you know, the thing is that, folks, you and I, we don't have a story like Abraham, but maybe it's just because we've not followed through. Maybe it's because we've not struck out on that road or set out on that journey with nothing else except faith, with just an understanding that I'm going to trust God for where he wants me to go and what he wants me to do, and for as long as it takes, I'm going to be faithful. Because you know, eventually every promise that God made to Abraham was fulfilled, every one. And you and I are still benefiting from that faith today. So when the writer of Hebrews uses Abraham as an example of faith, I think it's an example that all of us should follow each and every day. Because you know what? By faith, we may be able to carry that large water hazard out in front of us that we can't see. But if we're depending on ourselves, then we're going to be in the rough and in the hazards over and over and over again. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, may we learn from Abraham today. May we learn, Lord, that that without faith it's impossible to please you. But with faith, God, life can be such an adventure. That, Lord, we don't have to worry about where we're headed. We don't have to worry about what it's going to be like when we get there. We don't have to worry about the finality of life. But that, Lord, we can trust in you. Because we trust in you, that God, our life can be full of exuberance and exciting times. That, Lord, doubt does not have to lead us to fear. But the unknown, Lord, can be conquered by faith. So, Father, may we have that faith. And may we respond to you today, not to ignore you, Lord, not to try to pacify you, but, Lord, to obey you. And through that obedience, Lord, use us to bless others as well. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.